Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Morning, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14, Text 17. Suryamata Prabham Pasya,
Suryamata Prabham Pasya,
Grahamardam Mito Divi,
Grahamardam Mito Divi,
Sasankulai Bhutagunai,
Sasankulai Bhutagunai,
Jvalite Iva Rodasi,
Jvalite Iva Rodasi.
Suryam,
Suryam,
the sun.
Hata
Prabham,
its rays declining.
Pasya,
Jasi,
Grahamaram,
clashes of the stars.
Mita, among one another.
Divi,
in the sky.
Sasankulai,
being mixed with.
Bhutagunai,
by the living entities.
Jvalite,
being ignited.
Iva,
as if.
Rodasi,
crying. Translation: the rays of the sun are declining, and the stars appear to be fighting amongst themselves. Confused living entities appear to be ablaze and weeping. We'll read through a few verses. Nadyo Nadas Chachu Bita Saram Si Cha Manam Sam Cha Na Jvala Yagni Adyena Kalo Yam Kim Virasyasi. Translation: rivers, tributaries, ponds, reservoirs, and the mind are all perturbed. Butter no longer ignites fire. What is this extraordinary time? What is going to happen? Na Pibanti Stanam Vatsa Na Duyanti Cha Matara Rudyasru Mukha Gavo Na Rishant Rishabha Vraje. The calves do not suck the teats of the cows, nor do the cows give milk. They are standing crying, tears in their eyes, and the bulls take no pleasure in the pasturing grounds. Daivatani Rudanti Vasvidanti Yuchalanti Cha Ine Jana Padagrama Puro Jana Karasrama Prashtastriyo Niranandan Kim Agam Dashayantina. The deities seem to be crying in the temple, lamenting and perspiring. They seem about to leave. All the cities, villages, towns, gardens, mines, and hermitages are now devoid of beauty and bereft of all happiness. I do not know what sort of calamities are now awaiting us. Manya eta mahapate nunam bhagavata padai Ananya Purusha Stribi Hinabu Hata Sobhaga. Translation: I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world was fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. So Mara Yudhisthira is continuing to speak amongst his brothers and others about the ill omens that are appearing, so many of them, and as was indicated by Narad Muni, that the Lord was bringing his earthly pastimes to a close. So Arjuna had gone to Dwarka, and he'd been gone away many months, some 7 months, and he hadn't returned. In the next few verses we'll read how Arjuna comes back now. He looks dejected and morose because of the Supreme Lord has indeed left the world. So before that, now here we're reading, and we read about how these omens like wind blowing just dust and clouds and thunder but no rain and lightning and no rain, inauspicious. heart palpitations, my heart trembles. The left side of my body is all trembling. what else is there? The she-jackal is shrieking. mind is perturbed, people are perturbed, people are quarrelling and fighting even in the family. All these things, of course, in the Kali Yuga are quite common. But in those times, very unusual, and all at once happening. And now we're reading today about more that Yudhishthira Maharaj, the sun appears, the rays of the sun appears, the rays are declining, the stars appear to be fighting, confusion, living entities are confused, and so on. Even the deities seem to be crying in the temple. Now, obviously, places that normally would be happy places, villages and pasturing grounds, gardens, seem to be devoid of beauty. Now they are directly reacting. We know that in the pastimes of Krishna, or Rupa Goswami even, and he was reading the pastimes, separation of Radha and Krishna, that when he was under the tree, when Rupa was feeling lamenting and feeling anxiety in the mood of Radha for Krishna, the tree would bend over. The tree would cry along with Rupa. And when Rupa was happy, then the tree would go up. That's when Rupa Goswami was in Vrindavan, there's a story like that. But anyway, here, at the time of Lord Krishna's appearance, now, the last verse we read, Manya e tamahat pate nunam bhagavata padai ananya purusha sribi hinabu atasobhaga. All these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. Greater loss. Now, these are ill omens, things are not going well, so it's a loss. It's inauspicious, it's a loss. But there's a greater loss. The source of all these things, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead even of all the incarnations, Sri Krishna Bhagavan, because the world was fortunate to have the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord personally, walking everywhere. But now these things indicate that he will no longer be with us directly. So Yudhishthira is reading all that. So in other words, it is a great fortune for Krishna to have come. And we're very fortunate that he has come in this day of Brahma, because we know that Brahma, even in his one day of 12 hours, is 1,000 cycles of the yugas. So that means the Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga, times 1,000 is only 12 hours, and it is said that, you know, in the one cycle, the 28th millennium, Krishna appeared. The many incarnations have appeared before, but the supreme fountainhead of all the incarnations, so the source of all others, Sri Krishna, he appeared, and we have taken birth just after his appearance. Normally, people would follow their process of the of self-realization, and there would be incarnations appear, different types of Leela avatar, Yuga avatar, that give the religious principles. People would follow that. And it is said that they would be liberated in those times, up to the point of the Vaikuntha, by following the system, whether it's the yoga system or the Vanashrama, and the Yuga avatar gives the system, and then they could be up to the Vaikuntha. But with Krishna's appearance, we can be liberated up to the Krishna mark, especially after Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. So we're very fortunate. As I said, yes, the Kali Yuga is not considered a very auspicious age. Iron Age, the Golden Age of Satya Yuga, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age, and now we're at the Iron Age. So iron is considered the lesser of all those metals. So Iron Age of quarrelling. So very unfortunate, very inauspicious, but in one sense it's a good age, because Krishna so kindly appeared before, at the beginning, at the end of the Dwapara, and then Lord Chaitanya has come. So those living entities who have taken birth in the Kali Yuga, they are in a very inauspicious position, but Krishna is so kind, Lord Chaitanya is so kind, that he's easily made self-realization and perfection possible. Right up to Krishna Loka, right up to the topmost rasas, This is, of course, this is a special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. With Krishna's appearance, he's made, we can become liberated up to Krishna Lok because of Krishna's appearance. With Lord Chaitanya's appearance, we become liberated and we can enter into the very intimate rasas by following in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. So we're very, very fortunate. And so when Krishna was personally present, Lord Chaitanya, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's the last verse of Bhagavad Gita, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Pato Danudara Tatra Si Vijayobhuti Dhruvaniti Mati Mama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, morality. And Prabhupada says that when Krishna was present, and of course when the devotee of Krishna, Arjuna, the great devotee, when both of them together, there will be all good fortune, Prabhupada says. There will be all good fortune. So in this particular verse today, it is mentioned, the good fortune of the world, the good fortune will be gone. Because when Krishna was, there was all good fortune. And Prabhupada says the same thing. All good fortune. All auspiciousness. And Krishna is referred to here in the Bhagavad Gita as the master of all mystics. Jogeshwara, the master of all the yogis, or the mystic yogis. You know, the yogis, some yogis like to do their meditation and their tapasya, and you know, some of them want to gain perfection and gain the siddhis, mystic siddhis, just like Anima, Lagina, and Prapti, Vishitva, Kamyavashita, and all these different siddhis, and you can get these powers, controlling the elements, shifting your shape. Shape-shifting mystics. They can get a city that they can do like that. They can become very light. They can travel to other places very quickly. They can become very light. They can become very small. They can become very big. They can become... So these are all mystic. So these are some of the perfections that the yogis try to attain. And some of them want to go to the higher planetary systems like Tapaloka, and Mahaloka, Janaloka, and the Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka is full of great mystics. Lord Brahma, he is not just by himself in his loka. There are many mystics there, sages, great yogis, doing their tapasya. Also on the Tapaloka, along with the rishis, Sanaka Rishi and Sanatan Rishi, they're there, they're doing their meditation, they're practicing, they're meditating on the Lord within the heart. And in the Brahmaloka, there are many mystics there. They're doing yagyas, they're doing so many things. So one can attain these levels. Or of course, if the yogi is very perfect, then he can transfer out of the material universe altogether and attain spiritual liberation. But the master of all these yogis, so the source of all the yoga, all the mysticism, all the powers, that is Krishna. So Yogeshwara. Yogeshwara means controller or master. So that is Krishna. Yatya Yogeshwara Krishna. And so one is the master, possesses all these things. For that person to come, just for you to be in their presence, is very auspicious for you. It's like there's one story of Narad Muni when one time he was singing, doing bhajan and playing his veena, and then he just happened to be near the hermitage of Hanuman and his father. And Hanuman heard. Hanuman is very attracted to kirtan. He's very good kirtan. And so he went, and he went towards the sound of Narad Muni, and he started sitting, and he was in ecstasy just listening. And then he said to Narad, "Can you teach me how to sing like that and play the veena also?" "Yes, yes." So he gave him the veena, and so Hanuman was following, started chanting. He was singing so sweetly that even the rock they were sitting on started to melt. And then Hanuman stopped and got up and just left, seemingly very abruptly. So then the rock, which was melting, became hardened again. And the veena got stuck in the rock. And then Narad Muni couldn't get the veena out. So then he went running after Hanuman and calling out, "Can you come back and sing again and melt the rock? Get the veena out." So anyway, Hanuman didn't respond. So Narada Muni, and then Hanuman ran past his father, right inside the house he went. And then his father saw Narada Muni, and he was chastising his son. Why are you, he's a great sage, and you were just ignoring him, running in front, chastising. And come outside immediately. But Hanuman still didn't. And Narada Muni, that's all right, I'll go inside. So then Hanuman was going room to room, and Narada Muni was going room to room. And then he came out, and his father, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm very sorry, but he is such a great sage. I wanted him to go in every room of our house. Because that is very auspicious. He is such a great sage. I wanted him to have put his lotus putters in every one of our rooms. So he appreciated, oh, Hanuman himself is so great. But still, he appreciated that, oh, the presence of such a great sage, such a great devotee, just to be in front of someone, and to be in front of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, if someone, it is said Lord Chaitanya was so imbued with love of God, if he just looked at you, you would get love of God. It could be like that. We know the story of the fisherman who pulled up Lord Chaitanya out of the ocean, and he just touched the body, chanting Rama, Krishna, and all of a sudden. So, such is the presence. And of course, the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna. So, such good fortune. So, Yudhisthira is remembering, oh, it's like we were so auspicious with Krishna. Now he's going, so he's feeling very much in anxiety. So here, you know, so where there is Krishna, and when there is a devotee of Krishna, represented here in this verse by Arjuna. Arjuna is referred to here as Danudara. He's a great devotee, also Danudara, he's a great warrior. Danudara refers to he's a great archer. We know that Arjuna was considered the greatest archer. I always remember that story when they were young princes being taught by Dronacharya. Dronacharya made a test for Yudhisthira and his brothers Arjuna. And he put a wooden bird in the tree. And then he called the brothers one by one. Alright, take the bow, take the arrow, Yudhisthira, come. You shoot the bird in the tree with the arrow. So he said, Do you see the bird? Yes. Do you see the tree? Yes. No good. Put the arrow down. Abhim said, come. See the bird? Yes. See the tree? Yes, I also see everyone else there also. That's not good. Put it down. Arjuna, come. Do you see any of us? No. You see the tree? No. You see the bird? No. What do you see? I only see the eye of the bird. Oh, all right. Shoot your arrow. So you are the archer. Prabhupada used to say, we have to be like that when our focus on Krishna. Don't see other things, just see Krishna. You are the devotee. Doesn't know other things, just sees Krishna. So anyway, Arjuna is referred to as Danudara, great warrior, great archer, big general, but still a great devotee. He is always with Krishna. So whether it's Krishna, whether it's Arjuna, and then Sanjaya says, Prabhupada says, there'll be certainly good fortune, and there'll be all opulence. All opulence. We read today about all the opulences seem to have gone, Yudhisthira's thinking that. Look, you know, all the pasturing grounds and the villages and the gardens and the mines and all the things that bring prosperity to society seem to be, you know, very unhappy places and seem to be declining. The sun's rays, very auspicious, declining. Stars seem to be fighting amongst themselves. What's going on? You know, you have your stars and move and influence. You know, the sun influences you, the stars influence you. So when they're all lined up nicely, then you can have a good influence. And when they're all, you know, bad, you can get the bad influence. So Yudhisthira was thinking in that way. So this is very, very inauspicious and not good fortune. And certainly affects the opulence. Now, certainly there'll be opulence where there's Krishna. Now, opulence, what is opulence? Generally, opulence in the world is categorized according to the Bhagavatam, Janmaishvara Shutashibi. There's four different types of opulence. People consider opulence. I mean, Janma, good birth. High birth. big Brahmin family or big aristocratic family. This is considered high birth. If one can have a good birth, good family, that's very good. So he's done Aishwarya, and then Aishwarya means money, wealth. If you've got money, everyone dies for these things in the world. This is called prestige. Of course, spiritually speaking, it's what we call false prestige. It's illusory, but people, they like prestige and opulence. This is considered opulence and prestige. Good family, high family, a lot of money. Someone can, have a family with a lot of money, or they make a lot of money. That's very opulence. This is considered opulence. A lot of possessions is also part of Aishwarya. A lot of possessions build up, and build up a power and all this type of thing. Then Jaimaitreya Shuta. Shuta means learning, education. High education. I am B.A., M.A., Ph.D. So this is prestige. You can have so many letters after your name. You're very prestigious. Doctor so-and-so. Mr. So-and-so. No, Doctor so-and-so. That's Dr. So-and-so to you. They're very prestigious. People want these things. High education. That's opulence. Consider opulence. High education. And Shrutashibi, and then beauty. Beauty. Some girl is very beautiful. Some man is very handsome. You know, people killed for these things. to be handsome or beautiful. So if you're born, if you have any of these things, you're considered opulent. If you have more than one, if you have all these things, you're very opulent. But where there's Krishna, automatically there will be these things. He will adjust. We know Kubja, when Krishna went to the Mathura, he was considered not very good looking, and he just stepped on her toes or whatever, and got her fingers. She was hunchback, wasn't she? She was like all hunched over, kind of ugly. And then, but she was very attracted to Krishna. So Krishna just stood on her toes and got her under the chin and went. And then all of a sudden, she wasn't a hunchback anymore. And all of a sudden, she became very beautiful. Just by the touch of Krishna. Everyone was very amazed. Krishna can do all things. And everything is adjusted very nicely. So these things are considered opulent. Certainly where there's different types of opulence. Well, these are material opulence. Then there's another spiritual opulence. Spiritual opulence. Just like I was talking about Rupa Goswami. Now Rupa Goswami, all the Goswamis, they lived in the Vrindavan. They were living under the trees. They gave up all their riches. They were big ministers in the government of Sanshas. Big one was the big finance minister, the treasurer. It had so much opulence. But they gave it up and they went to Vrindavan. They lived under trees. They had nothing. Just with loincloth and staying under the different tree. So, normally if someone lives like that, living under a tree, if you see someone living under a tree and they're under a different tree another night, that's a very poor person. Homeless person. Is it? They move from tree to tree wherever they live, under the bridge. So they're homeless, but this is not considered very opulent. But do you consider Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, Jiva Goswami, poor men? In one sense, but in the other sense, they have everything. Why? They have Krishna. This is another level of opulence. This is actually the true level of opulence. When you have Krishna, you have everything. You have everything. So this is spiritual opulence. So opulence, and then Yogeshwara Jatapada Dandara Tatra Sri Vijayo Bhuti. These are mentioned here. Victory or success. Everyone wants success in work, in their education, or in sport, or whatever. Success. So, one. And so when Sanjaya is actually saying, because Dhritarashtra is asking him, what's going on the battlefield? He was thinking that he wasn't very confident, but he was thinking maybe my sons are doing well. And Sanjaya said, no, wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, your sons can never be victorious. Who is with Krishna, they will be victorious. So victory on the material sense is these things like a work or school or whatever. sport or whatever, you can be successful or victorious. But then and again, you know, we can understand success and victory on a higher spiritual level. You're successful at overcoming the material attachments. You're controlling the mind. You have victory over your mind. You have victory over your senses. This is considered to transcending and being successful on the spiritual platform. That is a higher type of success. So these things, victory and now what else? Exceptional power. So this tejas or bala means strength or power, especially spiritual power. So wherever there's the power, just like now Arjuna, he was strong and powerful, but when he was Krishna was with him, he was even more. Who can defeat even you know, Krishna told everyone, I'm not fighting. When Arjuna came to see him in Dwarka, and then Duryodhana also. Duryodhana came first, but then he was told, well, Krishna is now resting. That's all right, I will just wait. So he waited by the head of Krishna. And then Arjuna came after, and he said, Duryodhana is already, but Krishna is resting, Duryodhana is already there. Oh, I will just go there. So Arjuna sat at the feet of Krishna. But then Krishna woke. So then, he welcomed them both. Said, then what can I do for you, Arjuna? And then Duryodhana, he interjected. No, I was here first. You have to ask me first. Krishna knew exactly what Duryodhana wanted. And said, no, I saw Arjuna first. So, but if you both come to ask about the upcoming battle, I just say now that I myself will not fight. But you can take my army. So you have to take your pick. You can take me or you take my army. So I'll ask Arjuna, because when I woke, I saw him first. You may have come first, but I saw him first. So I'll ask him first. So Arjuna, he was, army, I just want you, Krishna. But Duryodhana was very happy, of course. what a fool. He said, Krishna's just one person. I've got his whole army. But it still didn't work. Because where Krishna, he was just a chariot driver, still the power of Krishna is with Arjuna. He was already powerful, but he was even unlimitedly powerful. Unlimitedly. If Krishna is with you, who can do anything? But if Krishna goes away, then all sorts of things can happen. So best to always be with Krishna, isn't it? So the power, the extraordinary power must be there. And morality. Now, morality, there's different ideas of morality according to the country, the people. What is moral in one country may be not considered moral in another country. So these are all relative things. Morality. What is morality? The true morality is following Krishna's instructions. That is real. That is the morality. What Krishna says, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to be moral, you want to be true to Krishna, to yourself. And to be really moral, then follow Krishna. You know, we know that Yudhisthira, although he never spoke a lie, he just that one time, when Krishna asked him, who was it that was defeating everyone? Dronacharya. During the battle, Dronacharya was annihilating all the opposing forces and all the army. So Krishna said, well, Yudhisthira, if Dronacharya just goes a few days more, so we have to stop him, but he can't be killed. He's got the benediction, no one can kill him. Only if he puts down his weapons. Then someone can kill him. So, how will he put down his weapons? Only if he himself chooses. So I think if we tell him that his son Ashwatthama is killed, he will put down him. He'll become Marine Morales. He will just put down. But Ashwatthama, he's not dead. Just say. No, I can't say. I've never told a lie. Well. Then just say, there's one elephant called Ashwatthama. He's dead. You just say, Ashwatthama is dead. Whether it be elephant or man, I do not know. Say like that. Or I can say that. Yudhisthira agrees. So he said that, but just when he said the part about elephant or man, I do not know, Krishna blew the conch. Blocked it out. So Dronacharya, all he heard was Ashwatthama is dead. But because Yudhisthira didn't follow Krishna, he had to, except from that time on, you know, his chariot used to like float above the ground and it came down. And also he had to have the vision of the hell. Just very briefly, you know, he had the vision of, you know, when he left this world, he had a little vision of the hell, and then he went to Krishna. Just as a lesson to others. So anyway, so this is real morality. To follow Krishna is real morality. Otherwise it becomes subjective, relative. What is moral in one country and not moral in another country? You know, in some countries you go to Amsterdam, you can just buy the drugs, go in the shop, smoke the marijuana, sell it. You do it in another country, you're put to death. Is it? So, you know, different for different countries, different people, so on. But so, what is the morality? Is following Krishna. So, wherever there's Krishna, wherever there's the devotee of Krishna, everything is very auspicious. So, Yudhisthira was feeling very morose that, oh, now we're bereft of the association of the Supreme Personality of God. But of course, Krishna is always here, present. Just he manifests himself or not manifests according to the desire of the individual. So now I was saying last night in the, my lecture at the Urban Yoga that I was saying that at the, because Urban Yoga is just opposite the town hall. So I said that just over the road here, I remember Prabhupada gave a lecture a few times in the town hall. And one time someone asked a question. It is said in Bhagavad Gita that Krishna incarnates in every age. So how is he incarnated in the Kali Yuga? Someone asked the question. So I expected Prabhupada to say, he's incarnated as Lord Chaitanya. He's a golden avatar. But he didn't say that. He said he's incarnated in the form of his name. In the form. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. He said like that. And all the devotees repeated. So then he explained about the holy name of the Lord, how it's non-different. Nama, Chintamani, Krishna, quite as many verses. And then he said the name is non-different. Our name is different from us. If someone says John outside there, we're not there. We're in here. So the name is out there, but we're here. But Krishna is omnipotent. He can be anywhere through the sound, through the form, through the touch, through the sight. So when you say this in the name, Krishna is also there in the name. This is the beauty of the Supreme Personality of God. So wherever we're chanting, wherever Krishna is with us, we're worshipping the deity, Krishna is there. We were reading yesterday in the Isha Upanishad, the mantra 5, that Krishna is all energy. There's only energy, one energy from Krishna. It works in different ways. So then there's material energy, we call material energy, spiritual energy. And Krishna appears in a form, in the form of the deity, in seemingly in material elements, whether it's stone, marble, wood. There's like Jagannath made from the wood. And we have Sishi Gornitai, Astadaka, the brass mixed with the other metals, Radha Krishna, marble. So these are material elements. So material energy. But Prabhupada explained that Krishna, when called by the devotees, he comes in there and transforms that material energy into spiritual energy. And he accepts our service. So what was before, the material element, it becomes spiritualized by the presence of Krishna. That's like Prabhupada always used to use the example of the iron rod in the fire. You put the iron rod in the fire, it becomes like fire. You can't touch it. You can't touch the fire, you can't touch the iron rod either. It acts the same way. It becomes, for all intents and purposes, the same thing as the fire. So Krishna transforms, just like ourselves. I was explaining that the spiritual experience really happens internally, on the level of the soul. But we use the via medium of the eyes and the ears and the tongue, and then we hear the sound vibration or we read. That goes in and touches the soul, and the soul becomes enlivened, and then becomes so enlivened, and then it goes back out again to the senses. The senses become purified. And our spiritual senses. Before they were material senses, they're taking in the spiritual. The soul becomes, and then it goes. The consciousness expands and goes back out. So the eyes become spiritualized, the ears become spiritualized, acts on the spiritual platform. So these things are all explained in the Shastras. But we have to know that these things are only possible if we connect again with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we remain disconnected, then we will shrivel up, tiny little soul, overwhelmed by the material energy. We're there spiritually, but covered. We have to always be connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manya eta mahatpate nunam bhagavata padai ananya purusha srivi hinabu hata sobhaga. Hata sobhaga, sobhaga means the bhaga means the fortune, good fortune. Hata sobhaga means without good fortune. This is what Yudhisthira was thinking in this way. Krishna, all these signs indicate Krishna is not going to be here. This is our ill fortune. Okay, Hare Krishna. Anyone got any question or comment? Yes. That in itself is
victorious, that we are connecting with Krishna, although we're still very much on a neophyte level. So how do we train our mentality and emotions to actually understand that yes, you are victorious because you're dealing with the most opulent person, Krishna?
Yes. That's a very good question, yes. Well, we're beginners, and we're on the path. So just like if you're drowning in the ocean, there's no one around, all of a sudden a boat comes and then they pull you up and put you in the boat. You're saved. Even though you're still suffering from your whole ordeal in the ocean, as long as you remain in that boat, right? Gradually you'll regain your strength and health. So similarly, we're not on the level of Arjuna, such a great devotee, but we're going on the path. So as long as we stay on that path, and Krishna promises us, just surrender unto me, I'll protect you from all the fears. So if one makes that effort, then Krishna will, it is said that you take one step to Krishna, he'll take 10 steps to you. So if you make that effort, then just follow it sincerely, and follow it your whole life. You should be thinking like that. I'm going to follow this my whole life. It's quite common that people come to the Krishna consciousness or come to spiritual life and they go away after a short time. That's quite common. I've been around for many years, so I've seen that. It's a new thing for people. They're trying it out, and we don't expect everyone to stay, but we're hoping everyone will stay, but still that's quite common. But we should try to think, no, I'm going to stay the whole life on this path. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as he was leaving the world, he called some of his disciples and he gave some instructions. He said, now I'm leaving and I have many disciples, and some of them after I leave will go away. But then he looked at all the disciples around his bed and he said, but you should stay. Don't go away. Even after I leave. So if we just have that conviction, just to stay on the path and do and perform devotion to the best of your ability, then Krishna will help you. So then you're liberated. Then you're saved. And then gradually you'll come to the advanced platform. Is that answering your question? So just as long as you're in the boat, just as long as you're staying on the path, even though you're not on the Arjuna, you're not the gopis, manjaris, don't worry about that. Prabhupada one time he said that. Someone asked him, love of God, that, and Prabhupada said, love of God, that is Krishna's business. He said, he answered it in that way one time. He said, that is Krishna's business. You just follow. Krishna will give you the love. You just follow it. It seems that he was in it, that is bestowed upon us, this love of God. Lord Chaitanya bestowed love, Krishna praying. It is there, but it's certainly the higher levels are bestowed, and it's something that's given to us. So you, if you just follow, then Krishna will do the rest. Yes? Say that last part again. Can you speak up?
You mentioned how Krishna is supreme authority, but sometimes when we're preaching to others, they don't see Krishna in that way. Mm. He's not authority, he's just in their eyes. Mm. And while explaining to them the certain points about spiritual life and guidance, they ask why should I believe this or why should I take this? What kind of answer could you give? Because if you just said that Krishna says like that, it's not a reason for that.
You mean, yeah, so there's two parts to your question. One part is that you yourself haven't got that strong conviction, perhaps. Is that what you're saying? That that Krishna is the authority. And then when someone asks, right, then what do you say to them? Why should we accept this?
Yeah, except this reason that Krishna is an authority, but for them, he's not an authority, so how?
Oh, I see. So as far as, for us, you're accepting from the devotee side. Well, I don't know. Sometimes we don't accept it. but as far as others, yes, well, that takes expertise in presenting the Krishna conscious philosophy. And the more advanced devotee you are, the more conviction you have, the more effect you will have at convincing someone about Krishna's position. Prabhupada used to say, there's devotees and there's great Mahabhagavat devotees, all different levels of devotees. He said, the very great devotees, he used to have a saying, the very great devotees, they can say minimum words and have the maximum effect. He said, but the new beginning devotees will use maximum words and very small words. But great, I mean, Prabhupada said, you are the spirit soul, you are not the body. That's it, you just, boom, boom. But you know, when I try to say it, another thing. I'll just walk away. I noticed that on the street when I was trying to sell books in the beginning. That's funny, it works for Prabhupada. Well, there's all different levels of devotees. So it's in the power is there in within you and with Krishna. Krishna manifests himself in the power. Just like Krishna with Arjuna, he had so much power because he was such a great devotee, and Krishna was there, and so much power was there. So yes, you have to become more advanced, and then you know you will learn by reading how to present the philosophy in such a way as to you know because you know Prabhupada generally for the mass of people that our program is kirtan. He said two things, kirtan and prasadam. And those who are a bit more sincere, then you can speak some philosophy, a bit more serious. So, you know, those who are just casual, they just present Krishna consciousness in a general way. Talk about the soul, talk about the body, talk about it. And then later when they get more interested, then you can start, you know, explaining a little bit more to them. But if for a brand new person, you don't want to be just Krishna is the supreme God, and you have to accept that he's the authority, and you have to accept him. Perhaps you don't want to be presenting in such a way like that for the new people. That comes later when they become more accustomed to what is this Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said like that. He said just in the style. He said in the, for the mass of people, we follow the style of Lord Chaitanya. He said Lord Chaitanya was chanting. He said three things. He said chanting, dancing, and prasadam. That's for the mass of people. And those who are more serious, then you can. So if you're speaking, just speak very generally. You don't have to become very specific. Of course, if they're asking specifically, then you have to learn the philosophy and know how to present it. But the general principle is that you just present things very in general words, and then when they become more familiar, then you get more specific. Okay, any final question? No? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Balabha Bhagwan ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari ki jai.